Over the past 4 days, deacons from across Europe and Africa have been attending the DRE conference in Edinburgh. That is the Diaconia Region, Africa and Europe. It's a gathering which meets every 4 years with the World Diaconia, a gathering of deacons from all over the world meeting in between these regional gatherings. This year, my wife Elizabeth was one of the speakers at the DRE conference, presenting the experiences of deacons in the Church of Scotland. And some of the contents that she and others wrote, entitled Deacons of Word and Service, which was published last year and approved by the General Assembly. There are some of us who are ministers of Word and Sacrament who look upon our diaconal colleagues with some envy, for they are far better connected with their colleagues locally, nationally and internationally, and they have a far greater sense of collegiality and are far less isolated than those of us who are parish ministers. In the report, Deacons of Word and Service, our deacons in the Church of Scotland are trying to remind the Church of the biblical nature of the ministry and of the rich gifts they bring to our Church. Why? Because as a whole, our deacons have been feeling increasingly marginalised and their calling increasingly unrecognised by the very church who helped them to identify that unique calling and who put them through a similar rigorous selection and training process that parish ministers go through. Many who formerly would have worked as deacons within a parish or a presbytery setting are now having to find other employment through which they can exercise a diaconal ministry. While churches continue to recruit and employ people with lesser training and in many instances a much lesser sense of God's call upon their lives. From the earliest days of the Church of Scotland, the concept of ministry was to have diaconal ministers working alongside ministers of Word and Sacrament. Indeed, the whole structure of the Kirk was created to have these two ministries working in parallel across the parishes of Scotland. And yet, for most of its existence, the Kirk has had a focus on trying to supply ministers of Word and Sacrament to each and every congregation, and the precious office of deacon has been much neglected. And so the broad spectrum of ministry the church could have enjoyed has in effect been halved, with so much of the focus of local congregations upon the minister of Word and Sacrament and upon their own needs, and more prominent these days, their own survival, rather than being the missional, outward-looking, worshipping body that Jesus commanded his church to be and to which deacons bring a unique service. Parish ministers who are able to work alongside deacons are truly blessed, as the diaconal ministry of Word and Service both feeds into and complements the ministry of Word and Sacrament, which is our calling. And through these two ministries of the church, we can find a much fuller expression of the fivefold ministry described in the New Testament, where we read that people are called to be apostles and prophets, evangelists, shepherds and teachers. These fivefold ministries, sometimes abbreviated to the word apist, bring a balance to the church and promote spiritually healthy congregations. When you look around the world, and look around this country even, at spiritually healthy congregations, what you discover is not only are they worshipping, praying congregations rooted in the Word of God, but they're also actively engaging the communities in which they're set. They're congregations who go out of their way to engage with the people in their community in all sorts of different ways and to provide a real place of welcome. The slow process of engagement which leads to bringing people to faith does not stop there, because these congregations take seriously the task of discipling one another. And so a feature of that congregational life is that they have very many small groups through which people grow in their faith as they help one another to identify and use their spiritual gifts, and as they encourage one another to greater maturity in the faith. At their core, these healthy congregations have developed teams of people in leadership who are able to bring at least one of these fivefold ministries of apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, or teacher into the local congregation. In so doing, they replicate in some way the intended model of ministry which could and should have been provided by deacon and parish minister working together with local leaders whose call is to one of these biblical areas of leadership in the church. These days, when there are only half the number of ministers of word and sacrament compared to congregations, and far, far less diaconal ministers of word and service, it is vital that the church leadership in the local church is refocused around a model that will lead not to the survival of the church, but to a healthy reblossoming of the church, with a focus on missional service to the communities across Scotland that we serve, with a focus on bringing people to faith and then discipling these believers into mature Christians, who in turn can identify and use their gifting in the Lord's service. Perhaps they'll do that as ministers of word and service, as deacons, or perhaps as ministers of word and sacrament. But more especially, creating healthy churches, showing all the aspects of an apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, shepherding, teaching church. That cannot be the task of just the parish minister, or of the parish deacon, nor for the enthusiastic few who are in every congregation, but who more often than not give up in the face of stubborn traditionalism, and who leave and try to begin again. Every denomination and most congregations in Scotland have at some point lost good people for these very reasons. Creating healthy churches can be a hard enough task to achieve, even in the formation of new congregations. And the reality is it can be an even harder task, though no less necessary, in long-established but perhaps not-so-healthy congregations across Scotland. Perhaps it would be a good start for all leaders in the church to go through a reselection process, to have their gifting properly identified so that a healthy leadership team working within a structure which is better able to help grow the local church and better able to missionally reach into and serve the communities in which we are placed. It is for such a time as this that we in the Church of Scotland, nationally and in the local church, as we are here in Crieff, are called to identify our gifts and our calling and to seek to work out and implement the radical action plan adopted by the General Assembly this year. To do that, we will need to be restructuring ourselves, so that in all these areas, so crucial to the growth and health of the early church, so that these areas become part of our present and our future church DNA. The challenge for the church to become more missionally engaged with our communities and to have existing congregations become healthier, though perhaps smaller, is coupled with the challenge to establish at least 100 new worshipping communities, fresh expressions of church, throughout Scotland. The Assembly has recognised that we cannot stay the same as we have been unless we want to see our church continue to die. Esther, in our story today, could not just stay silent and stay as she was, because her people, and perhaps she, would have died. So as the deacons have been meeting these past 4 days at the Dray Conference, their worship, their prayer, their thinking, their sharing has been focused around that short verse from the end of the passage I read, from Esther 4, verse 14. And I think that verse comes as a challenge not just to the deacons gathered in Edinburgh, but to the whole church. It says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" Or we might paraphrase it for ourselves, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the church will arise from another place, but you and your church will perish. And who knows but that you have come to this position for a time such as this?" In Elizabeth's address to the deacons of Africa and Europe, which was full of challenges that are being faced by her colleagues in Scotland, Elizabeth reminded that gathering that, in English at least, because it's being translated into different languages, in English you cannot have the word challenge without the letters of the word change. The task is not change for the sake of change, but recognising and rising to the challenge of creating healthy churches will always involve change. In our own context, we might think about, why are you positioned where you are? Why do you work where you work? Why do you live where you live? If you're at school or college, why do you go to school where you go to school? Why do you go to church where you go to church? And I would suggest that you and I do that because God has assigned you and me there and here for such a time as this. Every now and then we find ourselves at a moment in time that might be called a pivot point in history. In sports, it might be a time when the game result is on the line, and it might be whether the goalie is on the line or not. In the military, as we've just been remembering the anniversary of D-Day, it might be the battle that will win or lose the war. In business, that pivot point might be the sale that will put you over the top and into the black for that fiscal year. It's a pivot point. And when I think of what's happening in our culture right now and anticipate both the challenges and the opportunities that lie ahead for our church, then I believe we are at a similar pivot point. We're at a strategic point in time. You and I are here right now with the opportunity of a lifetime to make or to break the church. And the challenge Esther found, as we've read in Esther 4:14, is there for us. It may very well be the challenge that our Saviour has for you at this point in your life. Who knows but that you have come to your position for such a time as this? In other words, God has placed you and me where we are, not just to enjoy the benefits of life in Scotland or the benefits of Crieff Parish Church, but to build his kingdom, to help his people, to fulfill his purposes. God has created you and me for a divine appointment, a unique role to fulfill in our lives, just like Esther. There's something that you can do for God that no one else can do. There is a God-given niche that only you can fill. I don't know what you might think of if I was to introduce the words "a key player in God's plan." You might perhaps think of someone in vocational ministry, perhaps even a minister like me or a deacon like Elizabeth. But rather than that, I hope when you think of a key player in God's plan, you'll start to think of the man or the woman you see when you look in the mirror. Of all his millions of children, you are the one God has positioned to rescue the people around you. And just like that young Jewish girl placed in that strategic point at that strategic time, you have been placed where you are for such a time as this. Maybe another time we'll be able to reflect some more on the story and the challenge and the change that that story contains. But let me briefly outline why it's so important that we recognize that God has called us to be here for a time such as this. And you and I are where we are for such a time as this because, firstly, God's people are in distress. If we look back in history, we see that in the year 538 BC, the Jews who were exiled to Persia were allowed to return to Jerusalem, to their ancestral home. They were allowed to return to the city of Jerusalem. They were allowed to rebuild their temple. But the history books tell us that many of these exiles were reluctant to leave the relative security of Persia. But there came a day when those who remained were under threat of death. And in the same way, you and I can be reluctant, even afraid, to step out boldly and to make bold decisions for the Lord. Of course, today in Scotland, we aren't living with the threat of physical death, but God's people are under distress. People are dying from the truth. That's why we're here. We're here to bring life where there is death. And today, as we look around our society, we see the threat of death to the family. We see the threat of death to morality. And sometimes it's the highest leaders in the land who are morally dead. We see the threat of death to eternity. And wherever there's a people of God, there are also the enemies of God. And you are where you are for such a time as this because God's people are in distress. And you are where you are for such a time as this because, secondly, God's person has been discovered. If you've ever experienced brokenness in your life, if you think you've ever been dealt a tough hand, then there's a beautiful life lesson here for you in the book of Esther. If you've been crushed by life at any point, if you have a troubled past that is fractured, then you can learn some unforgettable truths from Esther. For here was a little girl who must have cried her heart out longing for a mum and a dad. And years later, though, she would become a key player, key to the very survival of her people. She was God's person, and in spite of her past, in spite of her brokenness, God used her. And he can do the same for you. Now, of course, at first Esther didn't feel that she was the person for God's job. And if I'm honest, there are times when I feel that I'm not the person for God's job, and probably you felt like that too. So then we read that Mordecai, her cousin, who was a surrogate father to her, sent a second message to Esther, in which he said, "Esther, God's hands aren't tied. He will use someone to save his people, but think how great it would be for God to use you." Could it be that this explains why you were chosen to be queen, my dear Esther, for such a time as this, for this very moment, this pivotal point? How great would it be if God used you, Esther? And just think, in the reshaping, the re-energizing, the making more healthy of the church in Scotland, how great would it be for God to use you and to use me? Not just to slow down the decline of the church, but to begin turning that decline around. Maybe developing some completely new, fresh expression of church, even here in Crieff. And you are where you are for such a time as this because God's power is on display. It's interesting, as you read the book of Esther, you never encounter the name of God. God's name is absent from all the pages of this particular book of the Bible. But God is there. He's present in every scene and in every event until ultimately and finally he brings everything to a marvelous climax as he proves himself to be the Lord of his people, the Jewish people. And Esther, a Jew, remains the queen. And Mordecai, her cousin, who was a surrogate father to her, another Jew, Mordecai becomes the second in command in the whole kingdom. I wonder, are you struggling today? Are you caught between a rock and a hard place? Stop. Take a breath. Look around. Look for the hand of God leading you and orchestrating events around you. And who knows but that you have been led to right where you are for such a time as this. Never let the fact that God is invisible cause you to doubt the fact that God is invincible. Because God's power is on display. And I wonder if you notice something in this whole story. The link between God's people in distress and God's power on display is God's person. Are you God's person? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Do you trust him? Will you accept God's challenge and the change that comes with it? It's no accident that you and I are here in Crieff at this time in history. Just like he did with Esther, God is challenging you and me this way. Who knows, he says, but that you were placed here for just a time as this. The whole course of your life has led to this very point. God knew that you would be interested enough in the things of God that you'd be part of Crieff Parish Church at this time of challenge and change. And God has appointed you for such a time as this. We need you. God wants you to accomplish his work of redemption through the ministry of this church. And the only way we are going to make it and become a more healthy church and become a planting church is if every one of us says, okay, that's it, count me in. I'm in for the whole game. I want to be part of something that's bigger than myself. I want to do something that will last for all eternity. Because God knows everything about you and everything about me and sees you and me as his masterpiece. And God will never give up on creating you to be everything that he created you to be. So give permission to God to take control of your life. And if you don't really know Jesus, then he's here, he loves you, he died to pay the penalty for your sins, he rose again, and if you haven't already, ask Jesus to come into your life right now. And if you've done that, ask the Holy Spirit to fill your life that you might sense God's direction and God's purpose. In God's challenge and the change that needs to accompany that. For you are here for such a time as this.